Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. It's always a pleasure when you're here with us live on Close Up Radio, or if you listen to our broadcasts in our overwhelming archive of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows to enjoy. We're very excited to welcome internal medicine physician Dr. Omar Darwish to our show, coming to us live from California. You know, unexpected deaths happen all the time as a result of complications from things like surgery. Some deaths are unpreventable. This was not one of those times. Dr. Darwish is a board-certified internal medicine physician and full-time practicing hospitalist at the University of California, Irvine Medical Center. Dr. Darwish is currently the director of the Morbidity and Mortality Conference at UCI. Any unexplained deaths are submitted for his review. He says from the time he started, he was always interested in learning from mistakes in the hospital. As a hospitalist in the university setting, Dr. Darwish teaches the doctors of tomorrow to improve their skills, knowledge, and bedside manner. He tries to put his feet in the physician's shoes. He has young doctors around him all the time, but he sees it from the young doctors as well as the most experienced, where things could have been missed. Expert witness work is an extension of what Dr. Darwish already does at UCI. It's detective work, he says. It's like trying to figure out, you know, the true reason behind what happened. Was there something that could have been done before or after surgery that could have prevented this from happening? Was there a deviation from the standard of care? He reviews that based on the written record. And of course, the jury eventually decides, but Dr. Darwish says being an expert witness really allows him to be a part of the system trying to find balance. He helps to deliver justice and helps improve the healthcare system. My pleasure to welcome him for an incredible conversation we have coming up for the next 30 minutes for all of you listening around the world to Close Up Radio. Dr. Darwish, thank you very much for joining us here on the show. It's a pleasure, and we welcome you.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
You're very welcome. You know, you and I were just chatting, we all have our own life's journey and choices we make, and especially when it comes to our careers and living out our passions. And for you, what was it about healthcare specifically, about medicine, that drew you in to want to find ways to help people navigate health crisis and healing and things of that nature? Obviously, it's something that you don't just want to do. It's in you. It's in your DNA to have to do this kind of work.
That's a good question. Well, I grew up in a small town in southern Ohio, and I actually grew up on a hill called Hospital Hill. So the community hospital was just a block away from my house. And unfortunately, I was quite ill from asthma. And so I always found myself in the doctor's office quite regularly. And so I think it was more of just feeling that connection with my primary care doctor that made me want to do the same for others. And so I think that's when it all started, is just with my health and being so close to the hospital that started my journey into medicine.
That's fantastic. What a beautiful reason to do it. I mean, living the experience yourself and wanting to be related to others and relatable to others through the extraordinary work. Tell us about your work. And you know, it's very in-depth, and obviously it can be very moving. I mean, you're working with folks in a situation where you're digging in deep as a board-certified internal medicine physician and full-time practicing hospitalist. There's a lot that you're dealing with. Also, the current director, as I said, of the Morbidity and Mortality Conference at UCI. Tell us a little bit about the work, sort of like a day-to-day idea of what it is that you're doing.
So my title, you know, like you were saying, I'm an academic hospitalist, which basically means I take care of patients who are admitted to the hospital. So you have to be pretty sick for me to see you. And at the same time, I'm fortunate enough to supervise medical students and residents and play a huge role in their medical education. And so I see diseases where a patient could come in with a simple fever, and I'm trying to figure out the etiology. I don't know if you guys ever watched the show House, where he's trying to determine the cause of rare diseases. And quite often, I do see quite often rare diseases at UCI Medical Center. So it's just kind of trying to determine the cause of why the patient was admitted and then providing a treatment plan to get them out of the hospital as quick and as safe as possible. That's basically what I do on a daily basis. And on top of that, I'm trying to teach students and residents how to navigate through the system, how to do a good exam, how to interpret the imaging, the lab, and then come up with a diagnosis and plan.
You know, we also say that oftentimes that it really does take a village, and you were probably running rounds just before we spoke. You have a whole team of students behind you as well, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's probably shocking for more patients because, you know, when we walk into the room, it's just not me. I have a resident, two interns, sometimes three medical students. And so patients get quite shocked and that an army is coming in to see them. But, you know, letting them know that this is a hospital where we're here to teach and make better doctors, and they actually quite like it because now we're discussing their care in front of them. We're kind of bouncing ideas back and forth, and they're seeing how involved and how much work we're putting into their care by watching the interaction basically live at the bedside. So,
yeah, yes, absolutely. It's extraordinary. You know, people that do what you do, I think it's extraordinary. I don't think just anybody can do it. That kind of experience must serve you well in your other work as an expert witness. You know, it's really all about, obviously, educating and teaching people things where they can actually understand it, absorb it. Tell us about that, how the experience that you have day-to-day on the front lines, seeing what you're seeing, witnessing what you witness, digging in deep anyway, makes you such an incredible expert witness.
So in terms of all the different types of diseases that I see, from rare to common, I get to see all the different ways that each disease is presented. And so as an expert witness, it's all about assessing an individual's ability to provide the standard of care. So I'm not looking at the best physician. So if it's an uncommon disease presenting uncommonly, you can't really fault the average physician, you know. And so because of, you know, my experience with, you know, all the different types of presentations. Let's say for heart attacks can present from me feeling tired. That would be my only symptom, for the classic symptoms of just, you know, chest pain radiating down the left arm. So I've seen quite a bit of different presentations, many different things, and that's what medicine intrigues me because of that. And so it's never a boring day. So I think just my experience, all the different types of presentations, all the educational conferences that I do, all the literature that I've reviewed, kind of makes it easy or at least fulfilling to be an expert witness.
Yes, fulfilling is really an important part of it. And tell us more about this and how this works. Obviously, unexpected deaths, unexpected complications or deaths. You have the experience of going through all the charts to figure out what went wrong. That has to be so intense, just going through that, you know, because you're dealing obviously with, there's a lot of emotion involved and there's family and there's just all these different variables in the mix.
Yes.
You have to sort of separate all that out. Tell us about that.
So, like you said, I'm fortunate to be the director of the M&M conferences. So any case where there's a complication or a death, it gets placed on my desk. And so I try to choose a case that our faculty and residents can learn from. And so I don't present every single one of them. And so just to give a story, you know, so that my audience can relate, one of the most interesting cases that I came across was a woman in her 80s who passed away from pneumonia. And she was found to be diagnosed with tuberculosis a week before she passed away. Now, when reviewing the chart, I could have just reviewed the time period when she was admitted, you know, just looking at, did they provide the right antibiotics? Did they, you know, get an x-ray to make the diagnosis appropriately? And if I just looked at that, then there would have been no issues. But when you look deeper in the chart, which basically means, did you look at prior hospitalizations, other data that was outside the hospitalization, I found that she had CT scans of her lung that showed partly collapsed areas. And the radiologist used a term called tree and bud pattern, which is not specific to TB, but it should be considered when you hear that tree and bud pattern on a CT scan. And then you ask yourself, oh, was there something hiding in this lady's lung for more than that, let's say, that week period of time when she was diagnosed? And then I even look deeper in the chart, and I find that she was actually seeing a primary care doctor and complaining of wheezing and shortness of breath and feeling tired. And any time a physician hears about wheezing, we, you know, most physicians would say, oh, it's probably asthma or even cardiac related, and they would be right 90% of the time. But in this case, we ended up finding that this patient likely had what they call endobronchial tuberculosis, basically tuberculosis inside the airway, which if you ask many doctors, they've never seen it, and I've never seen a case either. And so this was just a rare case with an atypical presentation, and the only way anyone would have found out is if they kind of looked into the chart deep enough. And so this is just one example of what I do. And so I have a committee that helps me put it together. We create PowerPoint slides. We prepare questions for experts who are not involved in the case. And in the end, we provide learning points to in regards to medical knowledge. We identify clinical reasoning errors. We even comment on how documentation of the chart could have been better. And so this is just an example of how I complete my review of a case for our M&M conferences at our hospital. So, anyway.
That's incredible. It's so intense, really. You know, it's in breaking it out in the way that you do and making it relatable is part of this, right? So not only our audience listening now, but the folks that you're dealing with can really understand and grasp it because, again, there's so much emotion involved in all of this. When you do chart reviews for the hospital, it's not about assigning blame. It's about doing better next time, right? And then with the expert witness work, somebody's reputation might also be on the line. Someone's freedom might even be on the line. That's a little bit different, right?
Yeah, for sure it's different, yes. So in the expert witness realm, the first thing I remind myself is that I'm basing my opinion purely on the written record. So I'm aware that everything that is done in the hospital is not always documented, and so witnesses are needed to fill in those gaps. But what I do is I look in the chart, and if the physician deviated from the standard of care based on the written record, and I look, you know, and based on what I was saying earlier about the disease, was it a typical disease with a typical presentation? You know, let's say a patient comes in with chest pain radiant down left arm, and did the physician ignore symptoms of typical heart attack symptoms? Or was it a patient who came in just saying, oh, I'm tired, I don't feel well, and then unfortunately the patient had a heart attack a week later? In that case, for example, it would be difficult to, you know, place blame, if you want to use that word, on the physician, because that's not a typical symptom of the disease. And so, again, I just, if I stick to the record by itself, then I try to, you know, take away all the emotion out of it and provide my report based on what I see. But again, what I write doesn't mean that is in stone, right? That's why there's depositions, there's jury, there's a court system. So I'm just part of the system anyway.
Right, right, exactly. But a very big part of the system, that's for sure. I would imagine it's one thing to review the charts, but it's also another thing to sort of synthesize all that information in a report. Tell us about that part of the process.
I mean, just like how I review charts for the hospital for expert witness work, there's a question that needs to be answered. And so and it could go back as far as all the medical records are available. I create an outline of the disease course and labs and imaging, and I try to just connect the dots as I go through the chart. And in the end, I synthesize it. And of course, I'm not doing this all in one day. I let time go by each day so that I'm thinking about it. And so time is needed, pondering it either, you know, when I'm not doing it and putting it together. And sometimes that just takes a few weeks to do. So, but yeah, it takes a lot of time and thought and consideration when creating a report.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. You know, it's if it's gotten this far, I would imagine, in a process, there must be maybe some ambiguity. How do you navigate your way through any ambiguity?
I mean, again, I base my opinion purely on the written record.
Yeah.
And as long as you do that, I think you stick to that. And sometimes it's not clear based on the written record. And you can just say that. You can tell the attorney and just say, hey, there's not enough here, you know, for me to even provide an opinion, you know. And so as long as you stick to that, then I think you can't go wrong.
Right. Right, exactly. And that's so important for people to realize. I would imagine, is there a heartbreaking element to this as an educator when you're going through a chart review and you actually see the mistake? You're almost hoping that you know, as a human, you almost hope that you don't see it, but seeing it does give answers so it can be, you know, corrected or the process can be improved. But there's got to be, I'm sure, as an educator, it can be heartbreaking when you do the chart review and you see the mistake.
Yeah, for sure. No, it is heartbreaking when I see a mistake. But behind every mistake, there's always some sort of reason. And sometimes the reason is seen in the chart, and sometimes you just needed to talk to the witness. You know, there's quite a bit of what they call clinical reasoning errors that exist that kind of explain medical errors that happen all the time. Some of, you know, for example, there's something called confirmation bias where you look at something to support what you want and ignore other data that doesn't support it. There's something called momentum bias where somebody's labeled with a disease and you just kind of continue labeling them with that disease and not kind of confirming it. That happens quite often. There's something where you blame someone's disease on just kind of their bad habits. Let's say someone's presenting with a disease and you're saying, oh, it's probably because of their alcohol use, but in the end you find out it was due to something else. So not creating a wider differential diagnosis is also a common mistake that physicians make. So there's always some mistake, and I'm assuming that it's never a mistake, is never intentional, right? There's always some reason behind it. And so that's why it's very important for physicians to communicate with patients and their family members about what's going on. And so that's probably the most important advice I would say. And there are going to be unhappy patients and family members, and you can't control that. And so you just have to just do your best as a physician and communicate what you can and can't do. So, so when I review these charts, I'm understanding all that behind it, and all the communication is not always written in the records. You know, it's just data, labs, vital signs, and that's why, you know, I'm just a part of the process. You know, it is hard to write it sometimes, you know, but I understand that I'm just one piece of the puzzle.
Right. Right, exactly. And that's important for people to realize. I imagine you empathize with other doctors going through this as well. How do you maintain this objectivity when you're actually issuing a report?
I've been practicing for some time. I've seen a lot. I've been reviewing charts for a long time too. In my mind, I have a good idea of what is the standard of care based on the disease and the presentation. And so again, as long as I stick to the medical records, then I can stay close to being as objective as I can. And so that's how I do.
Yeah. And again, it's quite extraordinary. How does something rise to the level of malpractice or even criminal negligence?
Oh, Jim, that's a good question. And, you know, there are elements that are needed to be met, but I'm going to stay away from commenting on what can rise to the level of malpractice, because as an expert witness, I can only comment on the standard of care. It's the judge, if it's a bench trial, or the jury that is given the responsibility determining that. And so I'm going to plead the fifth and not comment on it. Sorry.
Yeah. But it's something is there that people probably wonder about, right? Exactly. Yeah. You know, you have the balance of the medical background with the expert witness background. What do you find so fulfilling about the work that you do, Dr. Darwish?
Jim, I enjoy the process of applying my medical skills and answering a question that's in the justice system. So it's more the process than anything, and trying to determine the reason behind the mistake just drives me. And I think it makes me a better doctor. I feel like I'm a better doctor for knowing it, so that I don't repeat the same mistake. And then I let my peers know about it as well. But I think learning from mistakes is important. And I feel like I make a mistake every day. Hopefully it's not ending in someone's life, but, ordering a test maybe I shouldn't have, or giving an extra day of antibiotics. I mean, you're always questioning what you're doing, and that's what I do for myself. And so I get a lot of just fulfillment of just understanding that it just makes me a better doctor in the end.
Yeah. Absolutely, it sure does, and that's beautiful, again, that you've been able to sort of take the parallel worlds and bring them together. How do you not get emotional? I mean, obviously, you're human, and you read these reports, you create the reports, you read the details, you realize there's a human behind the name and the date of birth and everything that's coming in. How do you detach in a way that doesn't leave you numb, but also allows you to effectively do the work?
I think it's just because I've been doing it for some time that you just do the job. I think anytime you do a job for some time, focus at the job at hand, and you try to maintain being as objective as you can when you're doing it. I don't know.
Yeah.
You stay away from emotions, I guess.
Right.
You know, that's why, right. That's why, Jim, you take care of your loved one, right? I don't take care of my family, you know, it's hard. So you don't want to, that's why there's always bias involved, right? Like, oh, do I know the witness? Do I know the patient? Because those can interfere in your judgment when writing a report.
Can be, I mean, it's daunting, but having somebody like you doing this work is extraordinary. When you were, you know, when you were a kid and you weren't feeling so well, did you ever think that you would be doing such important and groundbreaking work as you're doing today, Dr. Darwish?
No, not at all, Jim. I didn't even know this existed. I didn't know. I had no idea. I learned about expert witness, say, 5-6 years ago. You know, when my colleague asked me and said, hey, you want to review a case for me? And I said, for what? He's like, oh, for an attorney. And that's when I first got introduced with it. And so I've been in the work for so long, I've already been doing it, but it's not in the justice system capacity. But I've been doing it because, again, I think it just makes me a better doctor in the end.
Yeah, it sure does. If folks want to learn more, possibly connect, what's the best way they can do that, Dr. Darwish?
They can. There's something called Seek, SEAK.
Oh, yes.
And they can, profile is listed there. They can also email me at odarwish@uci.edu. I'm happy to reach out to them and, you know, and answer any questions that they may have.
That's terrific. That's great. Well, keep up the extraordinary work, Doctor. This really is amazing. And again, you know, oftentimes when things happen, people want to know the answers. They want to know what went wrong, what decisions were made. And, of course, you know, a lot of times there's urgency, so people in the medical field have to act fast to try to do great work, and sometimes things can happen. So it's you're deducing it for the benefit to all of us, really, because, you know, getting things sort of corrected early on and figuring it out is incredible, because it could be life-saving or health-creating for anybody else. So kudos to you, Dr. Darwish, for the extraordinary work that you're doing. You're doing work that obviously you were destined to do. It's your calling, both in the medical field and then as an expert witness as well. Thanks so much for joining us. This was really a pleasure, and I hope we get a chance to explore some more down the line. That would be a pleasure, and thanks for all that you do. I hope you enjoy the time with us on Close Up Radio.
Thank you for having me, Jim.
You are very, very welcome. You keep up good work. I know you're probably off to more rounds as we speak, so we'll let you go. But thanks for joining us and spending this time with us. Internal medicine physician and expert witness as well, Dr. Omar Darwish. Really fascinating conversation, and again, doing extraordinary work. Kudos to the doctor. And thank you as well all around the world for listening to this episode of Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters. Thank you for your time this time. Till next time, stay tuned. We'll have more great shows. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest for you as well. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day, and thanks for being with us on Close Up Radio. Bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television, Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.